Back with Wayne sharing a powerful message on light and what the power and what God has got in us already. And I want to just close out a little bit now with the final things that I want to share with regards to what I started 3 or 4 weeks back on, a falling away of the church, the apostasy of the church, people that were knowing the things of God and somehow things of the world got caught up in their life. And for whatever reason, they were pulled out of the things, they were pulled out of the body of Christ, they had their understanding of God's word twisted a little bit because of intellectual people out there sharing things of just trying to dissect the things of God. And we know that doesn't work because it confounds the wise. And so they're out there, and we've looked and we've understood the things that pastors, even churches, and the things of leadership that have distorted the truths of God and caused people to actually fall away. Could you believe that there's churches out there because of their beliefs and what they're following and standing on now is almost a complete apostasy of that church or that possibly group of people have fallen away from the things of God because they're following a pastor or a leadership or someone of a notoriety, and that leader's gotten off base. Yep. And he's gotten distorted truth. And he's allowed the world to muddle the truth of God to where he thinks that's the truth and he's going to share it with the people. And now we've got a lot of people going astray. I want to always try to do my best, you know, to be open with God and to bring his word to you. Even as we share to the things in the public and the people that are out there. And I had an opportunity this last week to share with someone in preparation for marriage, and I had an initial meeting just to meet them because they're not part of the church. And I had to visit with them to the point I wanted to get to know them before I said I would be willing to marry them. Number one, you got to make sure it's not like two women or two guys coming, you know, because names can throw you off.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we have that initial contact, and you know, whatever lifestyle and the things they're in, I just share that, you know, I want to stand before God and do what God has asked me to do, and I want to share things with you as a couple to know what God is about in marriage and how honoring it is to God for marriage. Even though they may be in a situation of living together and doing a lot of things like that, you know, I had to say, you know, in God's eyes, that's sin. Don't shoot me. I'm just telling you what God's word says. And I said, I'm not judging you, but I said, as a pastor, believing what my God is about, you've got to let people know the truth and let the truth be as it is. But I still love them. I still encourage and build a relationship with them. So it's not to turn your back on and say, well, you're of that and I'm not going to do anything. It's like, you know, but don't lower your values. Don't lower your standards to make it feel fuzzy and warm for them if it goes contrary to his. There's a slide up here that comes through at times, and I don't have it up there right now. You'd have to go through the whole presentation, I think. But it says something. I can't remember now, but it's like, I would rather stand before God or something like that than stand before the world and having to bow to God I'd rather stand for God than bow to the world or something like that and be right. Because ultimately that's what it all boils down to, is that we one day in the end are going to meet our Maker. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
The Word says that. We're going to see Him.
Amen.
And I want to be seen by Him as someone that He says, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Good job, Tim. You tried and you kept proclaiming my truths. You kept trying to share what I was about. You didn't cave in to the things of society. You didn't muddle it. You didn't water it down. You didn't say, well, God is a God of grace and mercy and He'll give everything and blah, 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 and everybody. Yes, He is all of that. But there is that point in time where God is a just God and a fair God of judgment. For if He doesn't judge those of sin, and as sad as it is, cast them into hell, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus die? Why did He go to the cross? Why by His stripes we're healed? Why by His blood that was shed are our sins washed away? Because sin wouldn't matter then. If everybody was going to go to heaven, and if we are in total sin and living in sin, and we go before Him, and He says, this is what I've got against you, this is what you've not done, this is what you've done contrary to my word, to you I don't even know you. He'll do that to the unsaved, but you know what? He'll do that to the saved if you've been saved, but you fall away, or you're saved, but you're not following Him as you should. As a watered-down doctrinal thing to say, well, I'm kind of saved, but I'm kind of worldly. ain't going to work, you know? I want to be a kingdom kid, but I also want to have my toe in the world. That ain't going to work. The two are contrary to the lifestyle. And I'm not saying that I live a perfect life. I'm not saying that I've got it made. I've got to say this. It's a day-by-day thing of dealing with things, learning to learn the power of God, learning to hear from God, be willing to turn from sin, be willing to call sin what it is, but don't do it under my definition of sin. Do it under what His definition of sin is. And if I do that, I'm covered. I hope, I think, you know. And you all are covered that way, aren't you? And so it's just for us to sound the alarm. It's just for us to let the people know of God's word to His people. And we are all His people. Even the vilest sinner out there, it says that we were all created in His image. Those that are lost, created in His image. You in the church today, created in His image. So it's not for me to stand here and say, well, I'm putting a line down here, and all of this is over here, and they're outside the realm of God. All these are inside the realm of God. I have to go to them and say, God loves you, even where you're at. And so God has a powerful love for us. He has a powerful love for His church. Don't you think it disheartens God when He sees His children distort His truth? What does it do to God when denominational, powerful people and big denominations out there go contrary to what they call sin and what God calls sin? How does God feel when they say that, well, I think we know this lifestyle better than what Jesus was speaking about it in the New Testament? Jesus, the very Son of God, God in flesh. These people in high positions of church denominational things are saying, we know better than what really God knows? There's danger in that. And God will take care of it. It's not for me to deal with. But I, myself, personally, as I think we all here have to be personally, is pay attention to yourself. Hallelujah. Pay attention to where you're at with God. Pay attention to what is pulling you maybe away from God. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the things that are pulling you towards God. And focus on those things that are drawing you to Him. He will draw you. Talks about the Spirit woos us. And so as the Spirit woos us, we begin to be drawn to Him. Amen? And that's what we want. Don't we all want to be drawn to God? Man, I do. So we're going to look at, you know, we talked about apostasy, the things and how bad it is and what's happening and the falling away of the church and woe to them that know. It's like that thing there that the scripture says, woe to those that know good but don't do it. That is sin. And so we've all been given a key of understanding, I believe, as we stay connected to God. Now, last week I shared quickly on ways to stay close to God, and we only got like into the first area of heed the warning not to fall away. God in His Word gives us the warning. And I shared about how we give our warnings to our kids about not going into the street or staying away from the stove and all of these things. You know, warnings are good. God is good. He gives us warnings. Talks about being steadfast in 2 Peter. Need to be steadfast in the things of God. Steadfast. We find out steadfast is firmly fixed in place, being immovable to the things of God. And that's in, 2 Peter 3:17. And I shared there at the New Living says, don't lose your secure footing. But now I want to get into depending upon God. I want you to know that you can depend upon God from sun up to sundown. Amen. That you can depend upon God. The world will fail you. Man will fail you. Things of this life will fail you. But my God will not fail you. And it says here, keep depending upon God. And then we find in Romans, I want to go to Romans 8. Romans 8:35. It says that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate you from the love? Now, we might think before we go further that, well, there will be a lot of things that will separate me from the love of Christ, right? Could be a lot of things out there that's going to cause me to be separated from Him. But His Word tells us that, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But in verse 37, I like it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, in verse 38, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in that Christ Jesus, our Lord. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Have you made him the Lord of your life? Have you surrendered to him to where you can honestly say, he is my Lord? If you've done that, then he is everything to you, and you honor and obey him in all that he asks you to do. As someone, you know, you hear that saying like, well, that guy that I know at work or my boss, he's just lording over me. What does that mean? He's got his thumb on you and he's just making you do exactly what he's wanting you to do. He's lording over you. We want that with Christ our Lord. I want Jesus. Okay, Lord, put your thumb on me and lead me and tell me what I need to do. I want to honor you. Now, have I gotten to that level that 100% of Tim is that way? No. That's sad. But I'm further along than I was 10 years ago. I'm further along in having him Lord of my life than I was when I was 35 or 30 years of age and not really having a strong relationship with him. It takes time. We build up, we grow, we develop. We all have to do that. Some of us grow faster than others. Sometimes it's just a slow growth. Amen. But keep growing. Amen. Yeah, it's just like, don't stop. Keep growing. The love of Christ will see us through all these things that we've listed before that up in verse, I think, 35. For any Christian who is discouraged, this powerful passage gives assurances of Christ's present love active at every moment in the Christian life. Isn't it great to know that the love of Christ is active in your life daily? And more than that, he's active in your life every second of the tick of the clock. He loves you. Amen. That's pretty exciting. You know, it's one thing to feel the love of someone naturally around you, to say, wow, it is so great to be loved. It's so great to be accepted or received by, you know, peers and people around you. But that makes you feel good, doesn't it? Yeah. But think of the love that Christ has, that he loves us. He loves me. You might have to put your arms around yourself and say, oh, my Jesus loves me. Amen. Amen. Because he does. Sometimes that might be the only hug you get that day. You might just want to hug yourself. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What does that say about depending upon God? Well, let's see. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But who's faithful? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That you may be able, as it says here, to, endure it. That is good to know. Temptation, translate the Greek word, which means enticement or evil, testing in general. Various kinds of trials. We've all been tempted. We've all had evil things out there try to sway us away, haven't we? And I'm going to tell you, it's not the major things that try to sway you away. It's those little things that happen. It's that little leaven that comes in your relationship. It's those little foxes that come around your barnyard that begin to slowly, if you are aware of it, you're going, hey, I had 30 chickens out here, and now by the end of the week, I've only got 20. What's going on? Well, there's been a sneak out there. That fox is in the barnyard, and he's taking a chicken a night or two. And you think everything's okay. But that's how the world is and our Christian walk is. It comes little by little and it snags us and takes us and draws us and does things and entices us. And then we begin to think, oh, poor me. I'm the only one that's ever been tempted this way. Oh, poor me. God didn't know how to give me strength to keep out of this temptation. Everything you need, everything that God has for you, you've got at your ability to use. Nothing surprises God. And so as we read in this, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that it says, God is faithful who will not allow you. God is faithful. Here again, I've said, I love my God. My God, I love Him, and He's there, and I don't have to have somebody. Somebody could say they don't trust Him. Somebody could tell me that, aha, I don't believe Him, but that's not going to persuade me to believe like them, because I'm going to say, I trust my God.
Amen.
I believe what my God stands for. Right. I'm sorry you don't have a God like that, but I do.
Yes.
Now, I can introduce you to Him.
Because
my God is a God that is faithful. My God is a God that is alive. My God is a God that I can speak to by that of the Spirit day in and day out, problem by problem, praise by praise, glory by glory. Because He is God of this time. He is God of my life. How did He get to be God of my life? I gave Him opportunity to come in. He didn't force Himself on Tim. Tim said, no, I like what you got and I want more of that because I love you and I see what you are about. That you are God, that has a God that concerns and has a concern for me. People in this life today look at people around them and they feel like nobody cares. And they're true. And that's actual. Nobody cares, really. The world will think they care about you until they get what they want from you and then they throw you to the side. But my God is not like that. My God walks with me. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
He lives.
Jesus lives today.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Wow! Glory to God, we're having church in church. That's unheard of. Yes, Lord, that's us. I kind of shared that. I don't know, was it Wednesday night or was it? Well, it was probably at our Wednesday, last Wednesday prior to the National Day of Prayer, and I might have shared this already, but kind of brings me to light that I said, could you imagine, guys, as pastors in this room, I said that God is looking down in this room and we're praying for one another and we're praying for His church and my church and that church and the city and we're praying for the things of the pouring of the outpouring of the Spirit. I said, do you think God all of a sudden looks down there and goes, oh my gosh, what's going on? There's pastors down there in a room joined together in unity praying. You know, God's up there doing all of His stuff and He's got to take care of this problem over here in the world. And He's taking care of this situation. He's taking care of this thing. And all of a sudden He's going, what in the world is going on over here? Woo! God's saying they're finally doing, son, what you said for them to do.
Hallelujah.
God will show you a way out. God will help you in resisting temptation. To run from a tempting situation is the first step to gain victory. Remember Dan, I think, shared back about, you know, the devil and the things that he tempts you with and all. And what do we do with that? How do you battle the devil? What do you do with the devil? You say, get thee behind me, devil. Turn away from him and go to God. Very simple steps. It's not complex. It's not an equation of this, this, and this equals this.
Hallelujah.
It's very simply, I've got Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I got the power of God in me by that of the Spirit. And it's not my power, it's His power. I've got victory in my life. It's not my victory, it's His victory.
Amen.
So why should I worry?
That's right.
When the devil tries to snare me? Get thee behind me and shut up.
Yes.
And you're defeated anyway.
That's right.
You're just out there causing problems, trying to coerce people thinking like you've got power. It's like that of a toothless lion.
That's right.
But even a toothless lion still has a roar, probably. Because they want their enemy, or the other people out there in the kingdom, to think that they're still a powerful lion. You know? I don't know. Maybe not. I'm just making that up. But I don't know. We'll have to study that. Google it, somebody. If a lion has no teeth, can they still roar? I guess. I don't. The teeth aren't really the ones.
Yeah. I mean, I know people without teeth that yell really loud.
That, you bring that up. That's good. I don't even have to Google it. We just had it verified right here. I've heard people know, anybody got dentures in? Take them out and yell. Let's see what happens. We will put it on YouTube. Oh, no.
See? Right here. She will never do.
Well, okay, and I hear her talk all the time. So you don't need teeth to roar. So that old devil, the lion, he don't need teeth. He just needs to roar, and people hear his roar, they get scared.
Amen. Well, glory.
Hallelujah. So God will help you and give you a way out, and he will give you that ability. And he's not going to put anything on you that he knows that you can't handle. Now, you might think you can't handle it, but you know why you think you can't handle it? Because you've not turned it over to him. Because you try to handle it on your ways and how you want to do it, rather than surrendering it to him as soon as it hits you, as soon as it comes on your radar, rather than saying, I got to take care of this, this is how I'm going to do it, no. Oh, the temptation is so hard, I don't know, God, you don't understand what I'm going through. As soon as that thing hits you, you say, God, it's yours. Give me the strength, give me the ability to work through this. And Lord, there's a testimony in this situation. Because I want to give honor and glory to you, God. I want my God heard so many times around this world and in this place that here people hear phenomenal, fantastic things about my God and what he's capable of doing, what he has done, what he is doing, what he's going to do. Amen. The same God that's the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's why I can get excited about my God. He's a God of forever. Hallelujah. And this is where it comes next, being steadfast in your faith. Well, how can you be strong in faith? It's because I stand in my faith of what my God has too. It says, I serve a God of faith.
Amen.
My God is faithful. He's given me faith. We've all had a measure of faith given to us. It's your point in time of you've got to develop it. You've got to nurture it. You've got to grow it.
Hallelujah.
And how do we grow our faith? Usually through probably adversities and trials. It says that. You go through those things for the perfecting of your faith, for the maturing, for the growing. Your faith will not grow if everything is perfect and nothing's happening. Because you don't need faith to go through life happily. But I need faith when I have a struggle. I have to have faith when I have an adversity. I have to have faith when news is not good. I've got to have faith when things are going contrary to being good. And then I've got to reach out there by faith and say, I'm not claiming that. I'm not believing that. I'm not going to say that's what's going to happen. I believe something better is going to happen. I believe my God will take that and use it for the better. And then it's up to him to do it because now I've put it all on him. I said, this is your baby, God. I'm not going to worry and fret over it. I'll pray about it. I'll thank you for it. But I'm going to take away the worry and I'm going to give it to you. Because his word says, cast every care upon him, for he careth for you. Do not lean onto your own understanding, but do what? Lean on him. He's given us a great opportunity to have a wonderful life. To be stress-free, worry-free. He wants you to have happiness and joy and victory. Even though you go through tribulations and trials and things like that, it'll still be there. Be steadfast in your faith. Steadfast, again, remember like I said steadfast earlier. Steadfast is being firmly fixed in place. Immovable.
Hallelujah.
Your faith has to be rooted deep. To be deeply rooted into the Word of God. By reading what he's accomplished, by reading what Jesus said, by reading what the apostles or the disciples went through, by reading the Old Testament and what God did in those days as people stood and they heard and they followed and they obeyed and how God showed up. Those are all tools, those are all things that we, to learn in our Christian walk, is to develop and to grow in and to take root in. And maybe I can't take root in my faith in a situation, but if I read his word and he takes me into his word, into a verse or a chapter or a book or something like that, and as I read it, I begin to see, oh my goodness, Lord, that was so insurmountable. How did they accomplish that? How did that happen? How did they win victory over that? And then you continue to read and you find that God made the victory for them. God had the victory for them. And they just went by what God said, and God says, go, like, you know, we came out of the Joshua study, go, the land is yours already. Yeah, but there's Jericho, and there's defenders out there, and there's armies out there that are bigger than us, and they're more well-trained, and they got better armor than us. Are you crazy, God? But no, Joshua and his people he was leading, God said, just go, I've promised you that land, and it's yours already. So you've got a promised land today in your life that you need to just go and take. But you've got to be steadfast in that faith, immovable. You've got to be in place fixed. Amen. Fixed in your faith. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That is why a testimony coming from you on the last Sunday this month might help that person over there on the other side of the room. Because you went through something that the Lord brought you through, that you gained victory in, that somebody over there is maybe going through something similar or something just as intense. Maybe not identical, but intense in nature. And you got that victory over here, and you say, but this is what I had going on, and this is what happened with God, and when He showed up, and as I turned it over to Him, and then this is what the outcome was. This person over here hears that, and they go, wow. Okay, God, I'm going to, by faith, I'm going to believe You're that same God. Because didn't Pastor say He's the same God? He's not a respecter of persons. You know, what He's done for one, He'll do for the other. It's not social scales as far as, well, if you got more money, I'll give you more blessings. No, no, no. You know, you got blonde hair, you'll have more blessings than, you know, black hair. No, it's everyone to Him is the same, and He'll treat everything the same way. You go to pray to Him for somebody that's got a hangnail for healing, He'll heal it. You go to pray to Him for someone that's got cancer, He'll hear the same thing, and His healing will be the same for that as well. God does not dial down His miracles because your concern is less than this one over here. God's power is the same power.
Hallelujah.
Across the board.
Yes, it is.
Ain't that great? Yes. Praise God that He's not a God of, oh, that's just a little problem. I'm going to dial it down to like a 5. Boom. No. This is just me. But I believe my God is that God. I pray, and when I intercede, and when I lift up situations to Him, I believe if 10 is the highest He goes, I believe His answer coming is at a 10 speed, at a 10 strength, at the 10 ability to take care of that situation. By faith, by faith, by faith, I've got to live that out and walk it out and believe it. Hebrews 6, 11, 12. We can't become sluggish or lazy in our walk. Imitate those who have had faith that they inherited the promise. New Living Testament says, don't become spiritually dull and indifferent. It's important that we stay sharp, alert. Man, don't become dull. Don't become indifferent to the things of what God has. We need to be like that of an athlete that trains hard and eats the proper diet so as to win and excel in his or her sport. Remember that our reward lies ahead. Thinking of Philippians 3:14, that I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't give in. Don't give up. Keep going. Amen. Persevere. Cool. Jude 20:21. Just throwing out a lot of scriptures out here, but these are scriptures that are kind of helping us to stay close to God. And so Jude, in 20:21, when I shared this last week, maybe towards the end, when I was reading Jude and I came into this area right here, when I was reading 17, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers at the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual people, or it would say these are soulish, worldly people who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But then I got into 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's our power. I read that. And it was just clicking in me and just stirring in me of the Holy Spirit. And then we come into this next Sunday as Pentecost Sunday, the 49 plus 1 days of the ascension of Jesus to heaven after the crucifixion. And it was at that 49 plus 1 days in Acts 2 where it was then the falling of the Holy Spirit came down upon those in the upper room, and the sounds of like that of a mighty, mighty rushing wind, and it looked like that of fire upon the heads of the people. The power of the Holy Spirit coming in. And I was reading this here and it's like, oh Lord, wow, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Power of prayer is going to lie when you get yourself connected to that of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And what does it mean by praying in the Holy Spirit?
Hallelujah.
You pray by that of the divine expressed will of God, and we do that by, now this is a scary language, or a scary word when we throw it out there, but when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it talks about evidence of speaking in other tongues. People in the world today want to discount that and throw it out, thinking that's foolishness. That's only back then. It's not for today. How do you throw out parts of the things of the Bible and say, well, that's for back then and not for today?
Right.
How do we say, well, God's the same God yesterday, today, and forever? If that's the case, well, God is not the same God today. He changes. He moves. He shades a little different now. No. But that's where praying and the power of the Holy Spirit, the pray really in that power... You can pray vocally by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I've prayed powerful prayers, I believe, by just shouting out the words in English that I could understand. Amen? But I believe there's times when I just get to that point where I don't have the words to say, Lord. I know what I want, but I don't know how to phrase it. I know that I want your will done, Lord. And I know why, if I can ask for your will to be expressed in this, your will be accomplished. That was the greatest example to prayer, was praying, Lord, our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy will on earth as it is in heaven. The thing we want in our lives is God's will to be accomplished. And I don't know what your will is in this situation, Lord. My English is leaving it kind of vague. And then I click into speaking or praying in tongues.
Yes.
What did I say? I don't know. Now I just... force myself to say that, and it's hard for people to even do that because people go, ooh, that sounds kind of devilish. That sounds kind of spiritually spooky. Amen. That's why he connects with us by his Spirit. You know, it's not crazy, it's not scary. It's been distorted in some areas, in some religions, in some things, yes. But you can take anything good and twist it to where it looks crazy after a while. You look at the things of today, of what people speak of truth, and actually a lot of the truth they're speaking is nothing but lies, but they've said it enough that you begin to believe it. But I believe with all of my being that, you know, there's power in the Spirit, there's glory in that, and there's a reason for that. If that's the case, why did Jesus say that I must go so that he can come? You know, the Holy Spirit's not to scare people off and all. Praise God. And as we all have, I've seen too many things. God has showed me different things in my life in the last 20 years or 25 that have happened, and they weren't anywhere close to happening at the time that he showed me. But anyway, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We find power and strength in the Holy Spirit. And then we keep reading the Word of God. 2 Timothy, the Scriptures will make us wise, that all Scripture is given by God. Good for profitability of doctrine, reproof, and correction. And then we get into, again, we got to 2 Peter again, continue to grow in Christian character. Along with our faith, we also need to keep adding to it in several areas. And you can read 2 Peter, what is that? If we can go there, we've got to wrap this up here. We're closing down on time. 2 Peter 1, 5 to 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh. Things add up. And then here's the last thing as we talk about, surrounding yourselves with other believers. Hebrews 3:13. Oops. Where am I at here? 3:13, we'll say this as we wrap this thing up, I believe. Beware, I'm going to start in 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort, encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Here again, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold on to the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. There is that word again, steadfast to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage each one daily. It is so important to stay in fellowship with other believers, to talk daily about our faith, to encourage one another with love and concern for each other. And here it is. 10:24 in Hebrews. I think we shared a little bit this part of this anyway in Sunday school. But 10:24, and this is what's important about gathering together and the things that we do. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up one another. We just need to stir up each other. That's why the power of the unity of a corporate body of a church is so powerful. And that's why the enemy is out there trying to destroy and separate the church and the churches. Because the devil knows the power that is there when churches come united. Do you realize the unity and the power that took place in the center of our town on that Thursday when Christians and churches got together praying in unity for seven areas of things that we wanted to lift up before God? And not only in our city, but what about all the towns across America, east to west, north to south? Think of it as they tune this in and the power. It's like a tractor beam, you know, that just like all of a sudden with all these things being prayed across this nation, God is hearing that. And I believe it stirs up the devil because it concerns him that there's power in prayer, there's power in unity as the body of Christ stirs itself up into things of God and the power of God. The devil knows he better run, for he is no match to that. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that is the finality of staying close to God and ways to stay close to God. Not to fall away, not to slide away. And you know what, though? It's always the ability to come back to Him. You know, as we realize sometimes that maybe we've strayed or we've shifted a little bit, that it's just when that happens and you feel in your spirit, there's times in my life that I felt like, you know, wow, Lord, I think I've strayed away from you a little bit in that area. I've strayed away from you here. Forgive me, Lord. Put me back on that path. Put me back on that track. Get me close, you know, back to you, Lord. Bring me closer to you. Lord, I just want again to serve you or to be close to you and allow you more into my life. Isn't that good that He'll say, hey, that's what I want too? Isn't that great to know that He's there to say, hey, that's what I want. I want to be with you. I want to be close to you. I want to draw you to me because of what I've got for you. As they come for prayer or for music here, let's just say a prayer and then they'll lead out in some music.